brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. As written in our gospel reading for today, and as Miss Susan pointed out, there is a word in our passage that conveys a sense of urgency, conveys a sense of emergency, and at the very least, offers or lends a sense of instancy. The word, as you know by now, is the word immediately, which occurs three times in our gospel reading for this morning. Verse 22nd begins with, immediately he, meaning Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Now, of course, as we read this verse, we have two things that we need to consider. One, what crowds? What crowds did Jesus need to dismiss? Well, if you were with us last Sunday, you would recall that Jesus miraculously fed over 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. Everyone at that place ate their fill, and there were still some leftovers, which amounted to 12 baskets full. Now Jesus had to dismiss the crowds, but not before he urgently and immediately dismisses his own disciples first. Why? Why did Jesus dismiss his disciples first? I mean, couldn't he have used their help, their assistance in dismissing the crowds peacefully, in orderly manner? These disciples didn't even get a chance to relish the miracle that Jesus just performed. These disciples didn't even get a chance to relax and enjoy the fellowship among the thousands and thousands of people in the crowds. After all, they, I'm sure, would wanted to kind of linger around, because not every day you see someone feeding a crowd of 5,000 plus people in one place. But instead, the disciples were made to get into a boat and sent to cross the Sea of Galilee without Jesus. Again, didn't Jesus need their help to make sure that crowds left in orderly manner, in peaceful manner? If anything, I would think that this would have been a great, great time of teaching for the disciple to work on their people skills. Instead, we're told by Matthew that Jesus dismissed them immediately to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us why Jesus did this. Matthew does not even tell us that why or how quickly the disciples did as Jesus instructed them to do. Although I have my suspicion as to why Jesus did what Jesus did. The rest of our story kind of bears this out. I suspect that Jesus dismissed his disciples immediately because he knew a storm was brewing on the Sea of Galilee. And he knew, like in chapter 8 of Matthew, that his disciples were likely going to be in trouble once again in the middle of the sea with the storm. So he needed them to get into a boat and leave immediately without him. Now, experts will tell us that the Sea of Galilee is one of those strange sea that storms can take place at any given day or moment without any warning. Raging storm, violent waves, strong winds will just come upon the lake without any warning, and Jesus knew one was coming, so he dismissed his disciples early. Of course, like I said, in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had experienced the panic, the fear, the fright that his disciples had when they were caught in this violent storm. And so Jesus knew that without him in the middle of the sea, his disciples would not fare well. So he immediately told them to leave. Sure enough, while crossing the Sea of Galilee, Matthew tells us in verse 24 that the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. Once again, the disciples were in a boat caught by a storm, that their lives and their faith were in peril. Now, for us modern-day disciples of Jesus, I dare say that we've all been there. Figuratively speaking, we've all been caught in various storms, various kinds of storms in this life. We've all been battered by circumstances, by life events that often feels like it's beyond our control, causing us to feel as if we're far from the safety, from the security of those we know, far from the safety of land. And with the wind and all sorts of things flying against us, it is often frightening and treacherous. Yes, we all get our turn in this particular boat. Usually, it happens when we least expect it. Very often, these storms of life come at us suddenly, immediately, without warning. And when they do, it is worth remembering the two other times that the word immediately shows up in our story today, both of which teach us something important about our Christian faith, about our Christian life. See, the second time that the word immediately occurs is when Jesus is found walking on the water toward his disciples. Now, this is a famous scene. Even non-believers use this concept of Jesus walking on water. You can use this analogy to describe someone who is good, who is perfect, who walks on water. Now, most non-believers don't know the context as to why Jesus walked on water. And frankly, not very many of us Christians know why he walked on water, other than we're told he did. Have you ever wondered what possessed Jesus to walk on water that day? Well, here it is. It's very simple. Jesus walked on water because he wanted to be with his disciples. He desperately needed to be with his disciples. You see, when his disciples left him, he went up to a mountain and prayed. He finally had the time and the opportunity to grieve the loss of his cousin John the Baptist. So he took the moment to go up to a mountainside to pray, to grieve that loss. But then when the storm came, he knew he had to be with his disciples. And he had to be there by whatever means it took. This time it took him walking on water to come to reach his beloved disciples whose lives are in peril in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. He knew. Jesus knew that without him, they were likely not going to make it. So he comes. He comes to them just as he has come from heaven to us on earth. He chose to come He is, in fact, the Emmanuel. Do you all remember what that means? It means God with us. He chose to be the Emmanuel, God with us, and came to rescue and redeem us from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, from the power of eternal death. So to save his disciples, Jesus walked on waters. To save his disciples, he did what he needed to do, including walking on water. Now, a lot of people have speculated and explained as to why Jesus decided to walk on water. Some have philosophized about it. If you ask, why did Jesus walk on water? Well, because he can. But the truth is, because he wanted to be with his students, his disciples, to save them. And here's the good news for us. Whatever and whenever we are caught in one of the life's storms, we too can count on, we too can trust on the fact that nothing will stop the Lord your God through Christ Jesus from coming to be with you. Nothing. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote it beautifully in the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans. Nothing in all of creation, no thing, will be able to stop God's love for you in Christ Jesus. Not water, not waves, not wind, nothing will stop Jesus from coming to you in your hour of needs. Yes, know and remember that God's Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is always at the ready to be with us. He may not immediately calm every storm that we experience. At least that's our feeling when we're in the middle of the storm. We pray and we ask, and it doesn't feel like he is there, but he comes. He is there, and immediately he is with us during every single one of the storms we encounter in this life. When in our life we feel battered by the waves, when we feel far from the safety of land, with the wind blowing strongly against us, that is when we can be assured that Jesus is with us. Jesus is in the same boat with us. Yes, Jesus will do whatever is necessary to come to us. That is the good news. The disciples, though, they didn't see as good news seeing Jesus walking on water. And frankly, would you? If this is the first time you encountered a living person walking on water, you too would have been a little bit frightened, if not a whole lot frightened. The disciples were not comforted by seeing Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, they were terrified. But they did something that we all encourage to do in those situations. They cried out in fear. And that's when the word immediately shows up again in our text. The disciples cried out in fear, and immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Once again, I think there is an important teaching here about our prayer life. See, when life storms hit us, we can cry out to the Lord in fear. And the Lord will immediately answer that prayer. You see, being afraid doesn't mean that you lack faith. That is often a misunderstanding among us Christians. Being afraid does not mean you lack faith. There is nothing wrong in being afraid. Our Lord wants to hear from us in those times when we are afraid. So go ahead, cry out in your fears when life's storm hits you. Cry out, but make it a prayer. This is exactly what the Apostle Peter did. In response to seeing Jesus walking on the water, Peter makes a very strange request of Jesus. He says, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus obliges him and says, "Come." And Peter gets out of the boat, which is a necessary thing if you want to walk on water. You've got to let go of your security and walk on water. Jesus calls him, and he does just that. He comes on the water, and at first, he does magnificently. Peter is able to walk toward Jesus on the water, but then something happens. He becomes frightened and begins to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus. That's why he became frightened. He looked at the storms around him, at the wind that was howling above him, at the water below him, and he became frightened and started to sink. Perhaps you've had moments like that. I know I have. Times when you've taken your eyes off of Jesus, you looked around at all that is happening in the world around us, and we start to lose faith. We start to doubt, is if there is even a God. Well, the next time that happens to you, friends, remember to do exactly what Peter did. Peter, in a state of panic, in fear for his life, he cried out in prayer, "Lord, save me." Those three little words, "Lord, save me, Lord," that is a prayer in and of itself. And what a prayer it is. And of course, Jesus at the ready, always to answer the prayers of his people, Jesus immediately does just that. He immediately reaches out his hand and catches Peter. Of course, there's no rebuke, no chastisement, no punishment. Jesus catches Peter the moment he cried out to him. Friends, this is important because sometimes when we're in one of those storms of life, it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to lose our faith. And when we do, we feel a little bit guilty for even calling on the Lord. So we do not call on him at all because we are thinking, why would Jesus come to help us when we lack faith? Again, having fear has nothing to do with lacking faith. We know that Jesus wants us to cry out to him for help whenever we need it, regardless of how faithful or unfaithful we have been lately. And the good news is he will immediately catch us. Remember that Jesus told those same disciples who were in this boat that feared for their lives, he told them that all that they needed is faith the size of a mustard seed. So if you feel as though your faith is small these days, take heart. Do not be afraid, for Jesus is with you. And if he is with you, faith the size of mustard seed is enough. It's enough. So if your boat is a little battered up, a little dinged up, right now, take courage. If you feel far away from the safety of land, safety of friends and family, do not be afraid. The Lord your God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, is with you. And if you've taken your eyes off of Jesus, I encourage you to open up those same eyes of faith and see Jesus with you in the midst of that storm, because he is. He is. He always is. Yes, Jesus is with you on the boat, in the storms, and when you feel like you might be drowning, Jesus is there to catch and to rescue you. This is a promise from our Savior Jesus Christ himself, that he will neither leave nor forsake us. And again, as Paul says, nothing in all of creation, not one thing, no thing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Cry out to him in your fears. He just might walk on water again for you, to be with you. Amen. Now I invite our confirmands, Fernando and Raimundo, to come forward as they are prepared to affirm their Christian faith through the waters of baptism. Come on. You could turn around and